While reality is that product market fit is more of like a journey, you know? It's like you're always evaluating what you're building for who you're building. Davor, hello, welcome to the roadmap.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so you are our first guest here at our office. Every guest that we had before you was online, but you're physically the first.
Oh, really?
The first guest here. Yeah. Okay, so you are from Resonate Digital. Resonate Digital is a company that specializes in market research and product design. So how did you actually get there? What's your background, experience, and so on?
So I've been in product development for the past 20 years in different roles. I was a co-founder of one startup. I was a CEO of another startup. Then I worked in a New York-based agency for years, working with a number of different like startups and companies in general in different stages of their, you know, life cycle. You know, and what kind of we noticed that when co-founders of Resonate that worked in that company was that a lot of the companies, they'll say that they actually speak to customers trying to understand, you know, their needs, while the reality is a bit, you know, different in a way that a lot of the product managers, founders, CEOs base a lot of their decisions on assumptions. And based on these assumptions, they create products, you know, and launch the products. And this is very expensive. You launch a product, you didn't test it with your market. There is a high chance you're going to fail. A lot of the companies, you know, fail, like 100 startups. One is going to be really, you know, successful. So we thought, okay, there is obviously a market opportunity for building a company that's going to be specialized in understanding user needs, going to the customers, talking to them, understanding their needs, and then designing actually toward those needs. And that's how Resonate, you know, become. And we are now 5 years in business, growing, having projects internationally, working with a lot of companies from the States, UK, EU, Iceland, for example. That's very interesting, is a big market for us. Even a small market by size, we have a lot of projects coming from there. Gulf States also, even in Africa, we have one startup. So yeah, we're working with a lot of companies.
Okay, so you're all over the world.
All over the world,
basically,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so 5 years old, that's, I mean, would you consider yourself to be still a startup or?
So if I would speak in terms of like, depends how you define what a startup is. You know, if you have found like what your kind of a product market fit is and you're making money off what you're, you know, offering, I wouldn't consider us being a startup, you know, because we have like a stable base of clients, stable, you know, revenue, and we are actually investing our own money into growing our own business. So we, in that sense, are not a startup. You know, if you just look at how old we are kind of still, you know, startup, figuring out how to grow further, you know, how to perform better services for our clients, how to grow into other markets and so on.
So this is being filmed in January. And my question is, how did Q4 go? Except that it was hectic, probably, I can presume.
No, it was actually, you know, the Christmas holidays were actually great. No, the Q4 was, we thought it's going to be like hectic, you know, looking at when we were in Q3 and planning activities for Q4, but it kind of ended above our expectations. So we were quite satisfied with results coming from the Q4. There were like a lot of new opportunities and new projects coming. So for us, it wasn't as hectic as we kind of anticipated it's going to be.
Okay, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to talk about how to navigate the path to your product market fit. But before we start talking about that, let's just briefly explain what is product market fit.
So a simple definition would be you have a market, you have a customers, and you have your product, and your customers are buying your product. There is a demand for your product. A bit broader definition would be customers. Customers are having a problem and they are using your product to solve their, you know, problem, and your product solves that problem far better than anything else on the market, you know. And another part of that equation is they're willing to pay. So if we would think about product market fit as a Venn diagram, it would be, you know, product solving a problem, customers having a problem, and then the price, customers willing to pay at a fair price for your product.
Okay, so what would be actually the benefits of product market fit? I guess It speeds up development and validates your idea before you start actually developing anything, and just minimizes the risk of your product failing.
So a lot of people think of product market fit as a destination. You know, kind of you reach the point where your product fits perfectly for to customers, you know, needs. You're making like a lot of money, and you know at any moment what you need to do, and you are super efficient in doing it. While reality is that product market fit is more of like a journey. You know, it's like you're always evaluating what you are building for who you're building. Why is it a journey? You know, because you know, technology changes, market changes. There are some macroeconomic, you know, factors that kind of can impact. And customers that were willing to pay for your, you know, product suddenly don't pay anymore for your product. So the product market fit is more like a process where you continuously evaluate what you are offering for customers, trying to understand who is your customer and, you know, what problem your customer is and what you can build, upgrade, add to your product, to your, you know, solution, to still be kind of relevant.
Right, okay. I think we can skip the question actually, how do you conduct, you know, user research or product discovery? Because I think we can talk about that. We can have a whole other episode about that. So I think we can leave that for next time. But through your experience, I mean, you probably realize there are a lot of things that, you know, might not go as planned. I remember when I was in business school and I had lectures from entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that our lecturers would always repeat, okay, so if you have a great idea and you might have a great solution, but is that solution actually good? In that term, you know, you should maybe focus more on solving a problem than offering an initial solution. So I guess, you know, when you're navigating the product market fit, you have to shift from a solution to a problem.
Yeah, that's right what you are saying. And that's what we, from experience, kind of noticed, that a lot of founders and CEOs and product people in bigger companies in general are too obsessed with the product, with the solution itself. And they start adding functionalities to that product, like, you know, better onboarding, integrating with other, you know, solutions. These days it's very popular to add a fraction of AI functionality somewhere, you know, on a product, thinking, you know, more customers will come, existing customers will pay more. While, you know, in reality, that usually doesn't help. You're just kind of wasting your resources and time. So what you kind of heard in a business school is actually, you know, correct. You need to focus, shift your focus on a problem, be obsessed about the problem, and talk to the customers about the problem. Because the key point is understanding, you know, how customers are solving that problem right now and what are their biggest pain points in that whole journey of solving a problem, you know. And if you can identify those pain points, the most relevant, you know, pain points, and you tailor your solution to address to those pain points, you have a good chance actually to building a better, you know, solution, the solution that actually outperforms everything that is out there. And by definition that we said, like, what the product market fit is, you know, it a product market fit for that particular problem.
Okay, but you might have a solution to the problem, but you really need to address the important pain points. And one of the companies that successfully were Uber and Airbnb. They knew what the customers were looking for. So in that term, you know, you have to talk to target customers about the problem. It's not just enough to receive, let's say, a little bit of feedback. You really have to dig in deep.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. Is like the first most important thing if you want to, you know, achieve a product market fit for your company is, for your product, is, you know, being focused on a problem. And then the second thing is, you know, not try to think about the problem, you know, yourselves and, you know, yourself and trying to find a solution, but actually go out there and talk to your target audience about problem. What I said previously, it's important to understand, like, you know, how they're solving the problem right now, and what are their biggest pain points?
Right. I mean, and you have to see the bigger picture. You know, you have to, let's say, if you're talking to a customer, you have to, it's not just enough to ask them, you know, what's the current problem, what's happening, but, you know, when was the last time when you encountered this problem, not in this particular case, but anywhere else, and it, just to try to solve it?
Yeah, yeah. What is interesting when you start talking to customers and you start talking to, you know, how they are solving a problem, is that when they are walk you through the entire, you know, process, they're going to be like mentioning the things that they are doing before actually, you know, solving the problem, maybe potentially interacting with your, you know, product. And they are talking about the things that they would, you know, do after, you know, solving the problem and so on. And that gives like a bit broader, you know, picture. What is also kind of interesting when they talk about how they solve a particular problem is the alternative ways of how they are doing it, which might give you like new ideas, you know, how else you could solve the same problem, you know. So it's really important to talk to them, to have that, you know, discussion, to be as broad as possible, not to guide them, you know, let keep that to be like an open, you know, discussion. You are just kind of curious, you're not trying to sell them, you're trying to learn from them, you know, how they are solving it, what are their biggest pain points, and that's going to give you like the wider perspective.
Yeah, because I mean, you need to understand things from their point of view, because it's easy, you know, to, I mean, you might get lost in your idea, as we said in the beginning, you know, well, this might be the right solution, but I'm thinking from a perspective where I'm offering a solution, and the customer is actually the one who's offering me, you know, how to develop that idea even further. So it's really important to talk to them, to the customers, the problems they face. And we can, you know, go back to the first talking point. Actually, when you have the feedback, you can again start working on resolving the problem of the initial idea.
Yeah, it's an iterative process. You know, it's nothing that you do like at the very beginning when you are starting your company or building your, you know, product for the first time. You know, you get the feedback from number of customers, think about that feedback, then you come back with the potential solution. You know, you don't need to develop that entire, you know, solution. It can be like a concept, a wireframe, maybe just like a landing page explaining how your solution is going to solve that problem. Then you again talk to the customers, refine that, you launch the product at some point. And what is really important, that you continuously talk with the customers, especially in the companies that are growing. You know, you have like a startup where the founder actually starts solving certain problem just because he was the one who was experiencing that problem, and he was very familiar with that, and he had like a good idea of what the solution for that particular problem could be. You know, if he was like a good founder, a good CEO, you know, he would go and talk to other customers just to see, you know, are there any other people like me who have the same problem? Is it problem worth solving, or am I building solution only for myself, you know, and maybe some of my family members? But as a company kind of grows, you know, the founders, you know, goes away from actually building the product. It's more in a business developing and so on, you know, and other people take the role of being a product managers. Those people need kind of to talk to the customers, because they are not necessarily the users of the product, and they cannot put things on a roadmap for which they assume are a good things to build next features that needs to be added to a product. They need talk to actual customers and continuously evaluate. Again, it's important for us to understand that we're living in a market where things always change. There are new competitors, new technologies, right? And user preferences change. So we always need to be kind of on top of those, knowing what customers want in order to be able to react correspondingly. And companies tend sometimes to say, like, but we do talk to customers. You know, we have a sales that is always trying to sell. We have a customer success team that is, you know, trying to onboard customers, that is receiving problems, issues from a customers. We are putting them into a list. But that's actually, again, you know, not talking about the problem, to get back to that, you know, topic. That's talking about the solution, right? That's talking about your own product. And that also, again, falls into that bucket of just adding a functionalities and so on, you know, and not talking about how better solve the same problem for a customer.
Yeah, I mean, and both, let's say, entrepreneurs, startup founders, and as you mentioned, product managers need to realize that their product, their initial idea can change. It might not fit, you know, some of their initial ideas that they had in their mind. So a lot of times your products might not cover a wide spectrum of, you know, solutions. It has to, you know, it's never, let's say, it's never a fit or a no fit. It's always something in between.
Yes, 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 yes. As said, you know, it's a journey. It's never like a destination. You know, you never reach that destination. You get like, a lot of the time we get a question, you know, how you measure if you have achieved the product market fit, you know? And you know that by, like, you know, the conversion numbers, the churn rates, you know, those should go, you know, lower. Conversion numbers should go, you know, higher. Another good identifier is like net promoter score. Customers actually wanted to promote, to recommend your product to different people. And if you like keep track on those, you will see that those also, like, you know, change over a time. You know, they grow, then they start to kind of, you know, slow down. Something has happened. And you need to reach out to them, to customers, trying to understand what's going on. And you might figure it out, okay, now my, you know, my customers, if, for example, this metrics, you know, start to kind of stagnate at one moment, it might be that you reach out to the top of your, you know, customer segment market, and that you need to investigate, you know, further. Like, what else can I solve for that particular customer segment, you know? And that might give you the idea for new products. And then you add additional product to your existing product. Now you have a, like a solution of a product, and you can see, you know, those metrics start to grow again. Then there is like another case when you again have like this, you know, stagnation, but you figure it out that certain smaller, you know, customer segment is using your product more than the other customer segments. And you start speaking to that smaller customer segment, and you see there's like a completely utter different use cases they're using it for. You know, you investigate that further, and then you kind of reposition your product toward them, and then you again see a growth. So again, it's a more of a journey, it's not of a destination.
Right, so you mentioned that your, let's say, idea might reach a ceiling, and then you have to look other ways. One of the examples would be, as we already mentioned, Uber. Uber started just as carpooling company, but they later realized, okay, well, maybe we can, you know, have people deliver food. Mm-hmm. So that would be something that you mentioned, you know, you have to look in other ways, because I think you always have a way. You can't hit, you know, a dead end and just stop there. You always have to find some way to expand your product.
Yeah, companies over time evolve, you know. The company, like, there are like maybe a few companies in the world that are the same companies as they were, and, you know, at the very beginning, and as they are kind of, you know, now. So the company is natural for a company to evolve, to expand their product offerings, maybe sometime even to kind of abandon the existing, you know, product and develop completely other, you know, product, a pivot. You know, that is also happening a lot, especially for a small companies, the startups who are starting, and then they kind of build a product. You know, people are starting to use it, and no one wants to pay for it. Okay, you know, you need to find a way actually how to get those customers to pay for your product. And you might pivot because you were maybe focused on the wrong problem that you were solving for them, you know, or you were solving for a wrong customer segment. So, as I said, like, we need to think about product market fit as a journey, and in terms of a Venn diagram, you have customers, you have product, and you have a pricing. So all of these need to kind of overlap, you know, and that is, you know, kind of a dynamic, and it changes throughout the time.
You probably had cases where you had startup founders or maybe product managers approach you with their idea, you know, I think this is gonna solve this issue or that. And after you did, you know, the product market fit, you discovered something completely else. And then they said, oh, is that really it?
Yeah, so there is one interesting case. One non-technical founder actually has his dental clinic, and very successful dental clinic. And what that founder wanted to build, he wanted to build like a mobile app in which you could take a photo of your smile and do a simulation using the AI and a computer vision do a simulation of how your smile would look like after a certain procedure. And he thought of that app more of a, like a social app where you would, you know, take a photo of your smile, do a simulation, share it with your friends. And there your friends would say, oh, this looks really, you know, nice, give you like a lot of likes and so on. And you would be encouraged by that. And then in that same application, you would have a marketplace and you would be able to find a dental clinic nearby that would be able to, you know, do the procedure for you. Okay, and we took this idea, this concept, and actually tested it with two groups of users. One group of users are actually patients and another group are, you know, dental clinics, right? And we did this research and what we found out that patients, they don't want to use yet another social app. And to us, like, you know, third-party observers, that could be kind of a clear from the, you know, get-go, why would I use yet another application just to take the smiles? But that founder was in love with its own, you know, solution, not the problem that he's trying to solve. And he was just, you know, adding more and more features to that, you know, product. So the patients didn't want to use. And the clinics, they didn't want to be listed out in a marketplace. Why would I, you know, a clinic that has my own marketing budget would be, you know, listed in the application, just like a one line saying something about my clinic and the patient could choose to go to someone else. But, you know, what we learned from that process is a journey, you know, that patient takes actually to get to a chair. So the journey starts by Googling. And they Googling about certain procedure. They want to educate themselves about what is whitening, what are veneers, how the procedure looks like, you know, what time it takes, how much it costs. You know, that's one step. Then another step is like finding the dental clinic, then looking at the websites of dental clinics, learning about them. You know, are they the best choice for me to do this type of a procedure? And then getting engaged with the dental clinics that they selected. And what we suggested out of that, you know, research was, why don't you put a simulation on your dental clinic website, like a plugin, you know, that would be able to perform the simulation while the patient is on your website, educate them and get immediately in contact with you, you know, and that's actually a product market fit. You see, you know, patients having a problem of learning and seeing how the, you know, procedure is going to look on them after they do it. And dental clinics wanted to attract the patients. Both of them, you know, had like a win. It was a win-win situation. And who is paying for a product? Dental clinics are paying for a product. Why are they paying for it? Well, it's a super way to get engaged with the patients. They look more modern, more professional if they offer that type of, you know, service on their websites. And there is like a higher chance that actually patients who comes to their website after performing a procedure will get in contact with them, you know. So there is like a direct benefit and there is also indirect benefit because patient comes with the photo of what he wants actually, and the, you know, it shortens what they call a chair time, you know, so less visits to a clinic to actually perform the procedure.
Okay, that was a really interesting example of, you know, how somebody falls in love literally with their idea, but, you know, in the end, it's not that functional. You have to find another way. Do you have any other examples? Let's say somebody who's navigating business growth.
We have plenty of these cases, and we have even, you know, more this type of a cases than, you know, the cases where we need kind of a completely pivot from the original idea and say, you know, this original idea won't fly. We have an example of one cybersecurity company that's actually doing a training of employees. So, you know, bigger organizations, they take this type of a solution, cybersecurity training solutions, to send like short videos to their employees of what is a phishing attack, you know, what is the ransomware and so on, to prevent this human factor that could kind of lead to a cybersecurity breach within the organization, you know. And they had like established business. It was a product there. They have a catalog of 200 something different training videos. And they were kind of a challenge was, you know, what to do next. And they were looking at what are competitors doing. Competitors were gamifying the learning experience, okay? You know, the stuff like that. Should we go and gamify the learning experience? You know, should we add more content? Should we I had a different type of a content. You know, is the video enough? Should it be maybe a cartoon or something? There were like different ideas on a table. What we did back then was we went out and actually again spoke to customers, and these are like DPO and chief security officers within the big organizations, and we talk about the specific, again, a problem. You know, how do you, you know, train, make sure that your employees don't click on a phishing email and then you have like a catastrophe for your company. And they took us through this entire, you know, process, and after having like dozens of this type of interviews, we figured out that there's like a big underserved needs, you know, number of underserved needs in the area of measuring, you know, how much people know about certain threats. You know, why is measuring important? Because you want to send like a relevant content to a person, you know, so that it doesn't waste time on seeing something that that person already knows. You know, every organization wants to be more efficient. That's one point. Another point is, you know, how I as a DPO in a company can say, well, this training that we have, you know, spent $200,000 on, you know, this year actually did some results for us and did, you know, had a benefit for us. And then we figure out, okay, if we are able to measure certain, you know, things, we could solve a big problem, big another problem for that same customer segment. And then with the cooperation, of course, with the cybersecurity experts and human behavior scientists, we introduced like completely new product. And it was not like a product which is replacing a training platform, but it was an addition to that training platform, a product that is able to measure, you know, how much each employee in a company knows about certain cybersecurity threats. It gives you exact, you know, number across different threat areas, you know. And it was shown as a huge success because this type of a product, other types of companies also started using, like Deloitte, PwC, like the consulting companies needed this type of a tool in order to sell their additional, you know, services that they are usually selling. So this is the example of you have a product, and then just by going to and talking to customers, you don't add additional features to the same product, but you actually introduce a new product, a new line, you know, and expand business with the existing customer base, but also get additional customer base.
Right. Okay. So I guess nobody's, let's say, bulletproof to their, you know, initial ideas. We both had an example from a small company, the dental office, and the cybersecurity company. And I guess there are probably examples for big enterprise companies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what would be your closing thoughts just to wrap everything up that we talked about today?
So yeah, to wrap it up, like the first thing is don't be obsessed with your, you know, product, with your solution. Rather be obsessed with the problem that you're trying to solve. Okay. To better understand problem, you know, talk to customers, understand how they are solving it today, what are their biggest pain points. Okay. Then validate, always validate your, you know, solution with those customers. Are you addressing those important pain points? And know that it's not like a single time that you do that at the very beginning when you are starting a company or where you are building a new product. It needs to be a continuous process because, as we said, conditions on the market always change. It's a journey. Product market fit is a journey. It's not a destination.
I guess, you know, you have to be really open-minded because if you're just looking down a single path, you're not going to get far. You always have to be ready to, just to change things and just to see what the market is looking for and, you know, adjust your initial idea to the market needs.
Yeah. That's for, you know, all founders and CEOs. They need to always be open-minded, curious, learn new things. And that's also for everyone working on a product people. They always need to be curious, learn about other opinions, hear other people, and so on.
Okay. Dauro, thank you very much for clarifying some things that were maybe a little bit cloudy. Thank you for coming, and I hope you'll visit us again.
Thank you for having me. It was nice talking to you.